So the involvement of minagim really it seems certain minagim began way back when. The Arizal says that the 12 tribes had 12 nuschaot for prayer. Cool. Says that the different tribes had different types of talitot. That they had a different, that you could look at a talis and see what tribe a person was from. So even though as far as halakha, we seem to have had the same halakha, but when it came to minagim, we know even in the time of Moshe, there were certain things we did different. We find in the time of the Mishnah, there were different customs. There were places that had the custom that the eve of Pesach, you didn't do any malacha all day. Other places didn't have that custom. We have a rule that existed in the time of the Mishnah. Dvarim ha-mutarim v'acherim na'agu behem isur. If you have things that are permissible, and others have the custom to treat it as prohibited, al tatirem bifneim. Don't treat it as permissible in front of them. So the Tosefta brings an example that there was a city where they had the custom that two brothers don't go to mikveh together. One goes in, comes out, the other one goes in, and he comes out. We find that there were different customs that revolved around halakha. In Rabbi Eliezer's town, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus held that when you have a bris on Shabbos, not only are you allowed to perform circumcision on Shabbos, but you're allowed to perform all the preparations on Shabbos. So to show how much they loved the mitzvah of bris milah, when they'd have a bris on Shabbos, they'd cut down the tree, they'd make the fire, they'd make the knife, they'd do everything from scratch, all the chilul Shabbos in honor of the mitzvah of milah, because that's what he held. By Rabbi Yossi Aglili, they ate chicken meat with milk because he held that was permissible. So you have in the time of the Mishnah certain minhagim that are minhagim, that this is how they had a custom to behave, and certain things that were just the halachic ruling that different rabbis had different opinions. And so long as the rabbis didn't come to a conclusion, so in this rabbi's town they behaved this way, and in this rabbi's town they behaved that way. The concept of loti to godidu, that the Torah prohibits us from having groupings within Am Yisrael, is within one city. You may not have one court ruling this way, another court ruling that way, but two cities, they could have different customs. And the differences in customs were acceptable. So much so that Chazal tell us that one of the reasons that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi incorporated into the Mishnah the minority opinion, even though we don't rule like the minority opinion, is so that if someone comes from a far out town and says, we have the custom to do things this way, we won't look at him and say, well, you guys aren't Jews, this has nothing to do with Judaism, but rather we'll be able to say, oh, you guys go with that minority opinion, well, the majority opinion is not that way, and so the halacha is not that way. So the differentiation in minhagim, in the way people were accustomed to behaving, existed going back to the time of the Mishnah for sure. With respect to things that are not halachic, so it goes back to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. With respect to halacha, so then from Moshe Rabbeinu to the time of the Second Temple, you had a high court that gave ruling. So there wasn't so much room for a differentiating opinion. On major questions, so the high court would give ruling. It's only after the high court, the Sanhedrin, ceased to exist, only then do we have a situation where you have different opinions and we don't have a way of giving definitive halachic ruling. So you could have one rabbi saying this way and the other is going that way, and he does not have to give in to them. They'll give halachic ruling against him, but because they're not a Sanhedrin, he doesn't have to give in to them. He could say, I have my tradition from the rabbis of the previous generation. I don't have to give in to you. He won't necessarily go tell everyone not to listen to them, but he himself doesn't have to give in to them. So the different minagim, initially with regard to things that were not halachic, and then later on with regard to things that were halachic, that goes back to the time of the Mishnah. The Jews were exiled, and you had a situation where communities were under the leadership of certain rabbis, and those rabbis established academies and taught in the academies. Now their students pretty much went in their footsteps. So if you have the Tosafists in Ashkenaz, so they learned a certain way of learning, and that way of learning, so you have many Balei HaTosafot, many of the composers of the Tosafot, and they're writing their opinions, and they're all going within a certain way of thought. And the reason is because they're all students of pretty much the same academy, the same way of learning. You go to Sfard, so even though you have the Rambam and the Rif, but the Rambam is a disciple of the Rimagash, who's a disciple of the Rif, so again, that's pretty much the same tradition of how to learn. So, we have a situation where the academy is fashioned very much the way the rabbis learned the Gemara and the Rishonim and the Halacha. And the customs were rooted. The customs go back centuries. Some of the customs go back to the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Some of the customs do not. Even in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, as we've discussed, things weren't clearly this way or that way. On certain issues they were, on many issues they weren't. So now that the Jews are exiled and academies are learning and deriving halachot, so the academy is very much fashioned which minhagim would be accepted and which would not. The Tosfot, for example, one of the axioms that Tosfos works on is if there's a custom, so let's understand it. Tosfos gives very strong legitimacy to customs. Tosfos very often will analyze the Gemara and say, how does this work with what we do? And he won't say, okay, we have to know what we do. He'll say, okay, so maybe we have to understand this way or that way. Tosfos works off of our custom and gives it a tremendous amount of strength. It's rare that we find that in the Rambam. There are instances where we find that in the Rambam, but most of them, the Rambam works with the Gemarot, with the Halacha. Through the years, so the customs evolved and the traditions evolved. And then you find the academies developing specific Ashkenaz, Sfard, and people aligning themselves either with Ashkenazi or Sfaradi. People in Yemen had to decide if they were Temani, if they were Baladi, if they were Shami, if they were Daldai. The breakdown with generations became more defined. But the concept of Minagim, different Minagim, starts on certain things in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, and on things that are more halachic, so it starts more in the time of the second Beit HaMikdash, but it's around. It's been around ever since. Now, not everything that people do constitutes a minhag that we should follow. Rabbeinu Tam says, minhag are the letters of Gehinom. There's a famous Rabbeinu Tam quoted in a few places, quoted in the end of Gittin by the Mordechai, that minhag are the letters Geinam. So not every minhag. He says that about a certain custom they had about writing Gittin. He says that's against the halacha. That's not a minhag. And the only time that will really give weight to minhag is when we know there were rabbis in that community. If we know the community was led by rabbis, the rabbis were aware of the minhag, so then we say, okay, that custom, the rabbis obviously had reason why they approved of that custom. Okay?